It's going to be a short presentation, so because I'm sure that people will have a lot of questions, but we want to make sure that there is an understanding of what are our plans for transitioning trust to IMAS, and what we are discussing with the trust responsible officers to do testing at experimental facilities. So this is really for us to share the plans and also tell you what new opportunities are going to be opened with a new trust code once it is compatible with IMAS, and then answer any question or concern that you might have, because I'm sure there are some, we have been hearing from some users that so there is some uncertainty on how things will work once TRASP has transitioned to IMAS. So some of you might be familiar with the translators that were written a few years ago, and these were a black box around the TRASP. So this is basically the lowest level, if you want, of the IMASification of TRASP. So there was, and there is still, a translator that reads an IMAS database and writes your files so that you can run TRASP as usual. This is helpful to mitigate what is needed to interpret an experiment. For example, we were doing this as part of one of the iOS activities. It is insufficient for most applications that need an exchange of modules. But this option will be deprecated once the transition to IMAS is completed, because the U files will no longer be supported. The second translator is TRASP to IMAS. So with this, you can take any TRASP simulation, any net CDF file, and store the results into IDS. This is useful for database analysis. So, and because you would fill the summary IDS, and so you can do a search into a simulation database where TRASP simulation will be stored. This translator will be maintained also after the transition to IMAS, because there might be a need to convert all the TRASP simulations and convert the old database. So it will be maintained as long as this is needed. There is a deeper level of the IMASification. We started making plans and tests in 2022. And this is an aggressive plan to deliver in 15 months a code that is fully IMAS compatible. And I will tell you what means fully IMAS compatible. So we are working with the ITER organization to implement TRASP in IMAS on their cluster. We have taken initial steps toward using inputs and write outputs. We are working with the community of users and having discussions with the TRASP responsible officer to discuss a transition plan. This is important because the first test will be done by the TRASP responsible officers after the TRASP team has run the initial test. So in the spring of 2023, so this is at the end of March, the next release of a PSHARE will allow users to run TRASP in two ways. You can still run TRASP as you were running, so with inputs from the U files, or you can take inputs from IDS. Note that these two modes of operation are not interchangeable. You either run using U files or you run using IDS. So you cannot choose, oh, I want the electron density from the U-file and the electron temperature from IDS. No, it's one or the other. And we have done it this way so that the code internally remains clean. The two interfaces are fully separated. And once the transition is completed, one of the two interfaces can be removed without any effort. The output will be both into the standard NetCDF file and in IDS. So if you are reading, for example, the outputs that are in the data model, you can use IMASViz to plot the results. By the end of the summer, all the non-dynamic inputs will come only from IDS. And 0D inputs includes the limiter, any geometry information, all the heating and current drive systems, all the diagnostic geometry. So you are not going to include this information in the transfer name list anymore. This information will be read from IDS. What is the advantage here? The advantage is that each tokamak will have a machine database that has stored the information on all systems and hardware and coil position and anything that does not change in time, that is specific for diagnostics and for that machine. And it will be then loaded and used when you run a transfer simulation. It also minimizes the possibilities that users make mistakes to when they input the geometry of the heating and current drive systems, for example. The input and outputs for the diagnostics will be taking and going only in IDS. So the interface for diagnostics is the probably less used capability in TRASP with a few exceptions. So there will be a low disruptivity. All the heating and current drive module will be exchanged through IDS. We will keep some internal models as during the transition from the legacy TRASP to the IMAS version of TRASP.
There are a couple of questions online. Yeah. Do you want to take them now or later?
If they are clarification, yes.
So, Jack?
Yeah, so you said that the device and systems and all that will be stored for each device, but what about devices that don't exist in the real world?
How do it is the same. So for example, ITER is not operating, but there is a machine database that contains IDS for the systems. So you can have one IDS for the limiter, one IDS for the electron cyclotron system, they can be updated. So the list is available publicly. So
sure. I mean, for ITER, I mean, ITER is a big project with lots of people working on it. What about like a smaller design project like we have here, LDRDs and such?
You would have to create a machine database for that tokamak, for that device.
Okay, so how do we learn how to do that?
Well, we probably need to have this conversation offline.
Sure.
But it's pretty simple. You just need a Python script and some information on the geometry.
Okay.
And you can create a database.
Okay.
Erica?
So my question was pretty much the same, except will TFTR be automatically included in the IMS? IDS.
Somebody will have to do it. It is somebody not the job of the TRASP team to do that. So somebody will have to do it. But if it helps, so we are working on making some script available to the NSTXU team and start creating a machine database for some of the basic systems for NSTX and NSTXU. So this script will be, so are part of a GitHub repository. Once they are set up, at least the initial set, we are going to share the GitHub repository. And this script can be used and modified for your use to create IDS for other tokamaks.
Okay, thank you.
And then the winter 2023-2024, the plan is basically wrap up and see where we are, complete what, so if anything listed before is not completed, and aim at making the expansion to CoreEdge and to MHD stabilities. So the plan is that after these 15 months, Trust will be able to use any module for physics and engineering that is compatible with IMAS, and it will be able to do dynamic calculations using also IMAS compatible interfaces. So some examples of what you should expect with the next release of TRASP. So this is how the input data are processed at this time. You have time-dependent data or other data. Other data is 0D quantities that are specific to codes or are specific to the systems or are specific to TRASP. So you input the other data in the name list. So these are all the static data. And you input the time-dependent data either via U-files or via name list steerable quantities. Then the time-dependent data will be processed and reprocessed by TRASP if there are events. So you usually, in these cases, what you do, you provide the time of a pellet injection, so the time of solid crushes. They are interpolated on a common time grid. The profiles keep the radial grid, and then they are stored into a data buffer that is available during the preprocessing and during the run. So the data buffer is what TRASP uses during the simulations from the input data. The way things are going to change, so during the entire 2023, you should expect that you can still use U-files and do things as you were doing. What is going to change? Okay, yeah, and of course, one is you would have interpretive, and so you use these for both interpretive and predictive, and usually you would use the name list steerable quantities for predictive runs. You don't give the data via U-files in this case. What is going to change is there is a new interface and users don't see it that will take the data from IDS, will then bypass the U-file and name list setup interface. So you are not going to see it. TRASP will just read IDS. The only thing you need is one flag that has the run ID that you use in IMAS. And then TRASP knows that it has to read this database. So in the first step, we will ask you to test this input, but you should not expect that these inputs are reprocessed by TRASP for sawtooth crushes. So these will come a second time. So, and we will ask you to provide feedback on that. The predictive simulations will be run through the pulse schedule IDS. This is an IDS that I've been testing for predictive simulations for either. It contains basically all the inputs that an operator would use to design an experiment. The gas injection, the reference plasma current, the initial reference surface voltage, reference boundary points or gap points, plasma composition, and then the reference waveforms for all the heating and current drive systems. So if you want to do predictions, your interface, and we are setting up a graphic user interface to do predictions that we plan on using to test the new BIST interface. So we are setting up this to test it in the control room. I will provide the users with a YAML file and Python scripts that can set up the pulse schedule IDS, and this is all you need for your inputs for predictive simulations. The rest is exactly as you were doing. You can select your predictive model for turbulence or for anything else.
So for interpreted runs, in this setup, you wouldn't have local U files?
No.
So one thing that several of us do is, you know, we have a run, and then we say, well, what if, oh, gee, I wonder what happens if current is doubled. So we just multiply our U file by a factor of two. So how would we do that in this setup?
You will not be able to do that. You will have to generate if you are multiplying your profiles, you will have to generate a different IDS. So what I have in, and I was exercising when I was at ITER, you can have multiple IDS and a reference scenario, for example, and you can combine these IDS into a new database. So you would have a new database that contains your modified core profiles, and you will run your simulation reading these core profiles.
And that would be stored in IDS? IDS is a sort of like MDS plus, right? I mean, it contains—
So you have different IDS. So you have the whole IDS contains the information on the limiter.
Right.
Then you have the EC launcher's IDS contains information on the EC, and then you have one IDS for each diagnostics. And then you have one IDS that is core profiles. And this IDS contains the electron density, the electron temperature, the ion density, ion temperature, and all the impurities. So you would modify these as your inputs to do that.
And everybody shares that core profile IDS? Or is that a personal IDS?
If you want to modify, this will be your personal IDS.
I see.
Okay. So you can modify it locally, and then you store it locally, and Trust will read that database and run the simulation. So you can play as you want.
Right.
So instead of modifying your files or multiplying, you would multiply your profiles in core profiles.
But it's local, so that the world doesn't get to see the screwy things I'm doing.
No. Okay. So there is some protection. Yes.
It's a very good thing.
Yeah, I want my junk to be my junk. Okay. So this is what you will be able to do at the end of March, you will be able to run interpretive simulations using IDS. So later on, the static data will also come from IDS. This is a little bit more complicated, and so this is why it is coming at a second stage.
Is case that you can also play with the static IDS, as you would for, let's say, instead of changing the profiles, you want to steer your neutron beam in different directions. So you would just change that in the geometry definition.
Yeah. So your machine description database will contain the default settings for your tokamak, but you can generate an IDS to play with. For example, you know, if you are designing a new experiment, let's say the smart collaboration, then you will create your IDS for the neutral beam with the data that you need. And the Python scripts to modify the IDS are extremely user friendly, even for me.
So but you say that you guys are going to develop a full GUI, so we don't have to play with the Python scripts.
So we are okay. We are not. I didn't say that we're developing a full GUI. We have some money to develop an initial GUI, and then we share with the team, and the team can help developing the GUI.
Fair enough.
So basically, what is important here is that the input, the data comes from a different input. But the way it is designed, they all go to the data buffer. So if you have your reference TRASP run with your files, then you can, and you don't believe anything that I told you, you can write your IDS, putting into the IDS the same data that you were putting into the U files, run the simulation, and you would get the same result because the input data are interpolated using the same procedure. So what you will be able to test at the end of March, we'll be able to run interpretive simulations standard, I'm calling the here standard, where the following inputs come from IDS. The limiter, so you don't need a limiter file anymore. The reference plasma current, the RBZ, the V loop, electron density, electron temperature, ion temperature, impurity profiles, if you have them, Z effective profile, if you have them, the full equilibrium, and the EC power and steering angle. For predictive simulations, so you can do predictions the same way you were doing before, using as an input the input that you would use for the interpretive simulations. So as I was mentioning, you will be able to use the U files until the transition is completed, but since the resources to provide support to users are reduced, the support to U files will be suspended at some point. So as soon as there is some confirmation that the input from IMAS work for every tokamak, then the support to U file will be suspended. For all the tests, we have decided to adopt a 3-month cycle for the testing and release to accelerate both the development and the adoption. So this means that anything that will be released at the end of March has been tested by the TRASP team, this time on an ITER simulation input. We are going to run the test for a couple of tokamaks. We will work with the TRASP responsible officers to test in a T-share, and then it will be released in PShare. So by the time PShare is released, we will have already started the development and the test for everything that is going to be released during the next cycle after 3 months.
Well, question. I guess especially at the beginning, as more and more people start to use this IDS, thing, the maybe minor issues, but still issues coming up. So is 3 months a realistic schedule, or is there any plan to, you know, if some issue comes up, to fix it on a faster
time? Of course, there are plans for fixing issues. So what we expect is that so we have tested the features that we are asking you to test. And since there are many users, there will be many different ways of running things. So the feedback will be used to do fixes, but the development will continue. because we have this 15 months schedule agreed with FES, and we need to complete by the end of the 15 months. So we cannot wait until all the issues are fixed before. So it's
actually saying the opposite. I guess there will be maybe minor things that can keep people, you know, from doing even further tests. So if we have to wait 3 months before
those So things, we will update T-Share.
Okay,
as fast as possible. And for those who want to use IMAS, we are going to to give access. The other thing we have discussed is to move to a different, to the semantic versioning of TRASP, so that every time we make a change, there will be an automated release that has the, say, major, minor, or trivial in the versioning of the code. So this will require some time. So it's
how stable is IDS these days?
It is stable. So there are still of course it is in continuous development. A new data model, the version 4, will be released in April. So one thing that we discussed with either is that the plans for TRASP must coincide with the release of the new data model. So we will be using this development as a way of testing the data model. So you should expect full, say, compatibility and no further issues. But it's much more stable than before. What is important is that there are going to be changes in the way you run the analysis, the predictions. And there are going to be changes in the way you prefer the data. The way it is done now, you read equilibrium from EFIT or EquiDisk files, and you will pre-process the equilibrium using Scrunch 2. A Scrunch 2 with create U files for the moments and create U files for the limiter, for the pressure, and whatever else for the geometry. When TRASP is compatible with IMAS, you will read the magnetic equilibrium directly from the equilibrium IDS. So you no longer need to run Scrunch 2. And this is actually a good thing. And you don't need to write EquiDisk files. This is a good thing because it removes several systematic errors and approximations that are done now when you move from EFIT to GEquiDisk file, from GEquiDisk file to the processing in Scrunch 2, and then you generate moments, and TRASP will use moments to reconstruct the equilibrium. You will read the equilibrium directly. So TRASP will read the boundary, will read the separatrix, and will read the gaps. Boundary and separatrix are no longer calculated using moments. So this is actually a great improvement, I believe. This means that if you're going to compare your TRASP run that was using U files generated with Scrunch 2 with the same analysis with left geo equal 8 that reads directly the equilibrium, you are going to see differences because TRASP is no longer going to calculate moments. And since the way it was running using moments really doesn't work well for shaped plasmas, so we expect this operation mode to be more accurate.
Right. That's a quick question. I think this is important because, I mean, let's say I want to validate some new features. So I have my previous run using U-files and Scrunch 2, whatever. And I say, okay, let's compare with this new IDS/IMAS version. And of course, if the equilibrium is different, everything may be different. So how do I know that the new features work? And it's not just a matter of equilibrium.
Well, you know, because for the past few months, I've been testing these features against simulations of EDA. So I am benchmarking the analysis and the calculations with a fixed boundary with simulations and with the equilibrium that's stored there.
Okay, but that's it. Let's say now I want to do the same on a highly elongated ST with a nice diverter. That's more challenging. And equilibrium can be quite different.
Yeah,
between the two.
But you should also understand, you can probably appreciate that using a representation with moments does not work well with shaped plasmas.
Yeah,
so you can compare, but it's...
Yeah, I'm just saying that it's going to be a bit more difficult to test the new feature. So I guess, of course, you can still move to a kind of limited circular plasma on NSTX and do your validation for that case. But
But these features have been tested and benchmarked, okay? So what we're giving you is something that we think that works,
that's
accurate for the equilibrium reconstruction. Now, if you expect to validate against something that you had before and that probably was not accurate because it was based on a circular plasma in a limited configuration, because all the tools in TRASP have been written at the times of TFTR, and everything after that has been developed on the top of these tools. We are really trying to make things consistently for the transport and for the equilibrium, and bypassing these legacy features that were written for a circular plasma.
Okay.
Okay,
so
you get to us. You get back to us if you find issues, and we will look into that. So what we are trying to deliver here is a code that provides a better physics representation than it was before.
Okay, but so to clarify, for instance, when all this becomes the standard. If I do a transplant on something I did 10 years ago, I'm not going to get the same result. I mean, I'm not going to be able to get the same equilibrium.
No.
Okay. But LevGO equals 8 right now says, let me use the internal equilibrium from the equilibrium reconstruction. That ability will still be there?
You still have LevGO equal 8. The difference is that you are not going through the moments calculation. Okay. So the boundary is not reconstructed using moments. And the surface and the flux surfaces will be read directly from EFIT. So for example, we have received a lot of comments, bugs and reports and questions in Trust Hub from users who say, oh, I have this equilibrium in EFIT. And then I see what, and I'm using LevGO 8, and I'm analyzing the equilibrium, and then I'm looking at the TRASP output, and they're different. So they're different because of all the pre-processing you have from EFIT to GEquidisc file to the U files, but also because internally TRASP would use the moments to reconstruct. So if you give an EFIT equilibrium, and you have this equilibrium in IDS, what you get from TRASP is pretty much the same that you were given it as an input. So in this sense, you can compare that. Mario, you can compare the equilibrium that you are giving and then what you get out of TRASP. And you will see that in the case you were using U files and the case you were reading directly from IDS, the results are different. But in the IDS case, your output, if you're analyzing and reading the equilibrium, is very much similar to the input of from numerical.
So how much difference is there between an equilibrium using the moments description and one that's input through the EQDISC file? I mean, is there some metric to give you an idea of what difference there is? I mean, the flux surface is, you know, differently, you know, positioned differently by 2 centimeters or?
Well, not that large, but if you have highly shaped plasmas, for example, diverted plasma, you start seeing differences when you get close to the edge in the calculation of the boundary, in the calculation of the separatrix. And these moments things is was also there for the free boundary simulations because iSolver was implemented in TRASP using the interface for the moments. So now with these TRASP IMAS, we are bypassing that step. So we are passing the boundary, we are passing all the flux surfaces.
No, I understand, but most of the difference would be in the outer part of the plasma where the shaping is. I'm gonna have to go back redo all the transports.
Oh, you forgot about
it. Rewrite all my papers. I'll be here for another 40 years.
Oh, great.
There are a couple of questions online.
Yeah,
Eric, see, you have a hand up.
Yes, So maybe I didn't completely understand what you were saying, but a lot of the analysis of an NSTX shot, for instance, had to do with playing around with the EFIT equilibrium, changing the radial node locations and putting the MSC data or not, and putting rotation or not. Is all of that included in the TRASP equilibrium reconstruction?
So these calculations were done, so when you were playing with the fit, you were doing that outside of TRASP, I imagine, right? Yeah, so you would have an equilibrium IDS that contains these things.
So TRASP is using more than just the boundary information.
TRASP uses what you want, so you can pass the full equilibrium. IDS includes the following information. It has global quantities, plasma current, magnetic field, the magnetic axis. It has the full equilibrium. It has some metrics. It has the thermal pressure, and it has the boundary, the separatrix, and I believe it also has a divertor legs information. So that there is a lot that is in the equilibrium ideas.
Okay, and then one more follow-up.
Yeah.
TFTR, and I suppose many other lesser machines don't actually use EFIT.
So it doesn't matter. So if you want to run a simulation for TFTR using IMAS, what you need to do, you need to take whatever equilibrium you are calculating for TFTR, and you're going to write an equilibrium IDS.
But there was never a standalone equilibrium code for TFTR. It was all done in TRASP.
So what is changing is that is the way you input the data. So you're not going to have U files, but you can pass the full equilibrium, or you can read the boundary and calculate the equilibrium. So TRASP runs. You can do what you were doing before. The main difference is that if you're using IMAS, there is not going to be moment recalculations when you pass an equilibrium.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just have to see how that works then. Thank you.
All right.
Jeff, I saw you had your hand up.
So I put my question in the chat, but it had to do with Mario's question on validation. So would it be possible to extract an equilibrium used from a previous transperon before IMAS, write an equilibrium IDS using that exact equilibrium, and then test using that so that you at least know the equilibrium are matched up, even knowing that you know, it may ultimately be an inaccurate reconstruction due to this moment transformation, but just if you wanted to remove the uncertainty of, are my changes in output due to the fact that the equilibrium got updated versus some other feature changed?
Yeah, you can do that. So you can take the TRASP to IMAS standalone code, take your TRASP netcdf file, and then run it. You run TRASP to IMAS. This will generate an IMAS database. So your equilibrium from your TRASP run is going to be put into an equilibrium IDS. And then you can run a new simulation that is taking this data, this IMAS database.
OK, perfect. Thank you.
And I recommend you guys do that if you're not convinced about what I'm telling you.
There's one more question.
Yeah.
If it's OK. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thanks. Maybe I've missed it somewhere, but for documentation on IMAS and IDS, is that available anywhere on the trans site? The only place that seems formal seems to be on the ETER site that requires an ETER account. So is that, do you have to get an ETER account to get access to the IMAS and IDS documentation?
So if you want general IMAS IDS documentation, yes. What we are going to make available is at the time we are releasing anything that is using IMAS, we will release also the documentation that is specific to TRASP. So everything will be done with the release. We will give access to this documentation to the beta testers before the official release, so they can help us understand whether things are clear enough, whether they can use the documentation, understand it, so that by the time we release a PShare, then documentation will be up to date. But if you want access to the basic IMAS IDS documentation, then you need to take that from the ETER website, and you need to request an account. Yes.
Is there a reason the IMAS schema is behind a password or account barrier?
Yes, because so the ETER organization is working toward making the data model open source, but making the data model open source requires the ETER Council to approve it. So until the various domestic agencies agree and convince the ETER Council that they need to push for having the data model open source, so this is not going to happen. So they're working on that, but the push, I've been told, needs to come from the ETER Council.
Basically, the ETER agreement was signed with the ETER members. It wasn't signed with the entire world. And so if you're not an ETER member, you may not have access. So,
on the other hand, it's quite straightforward to get an account.
So that everybody is aware of, the access to IMAS and getting an ETER account requires the signature of an IMAS cooperation agreement. So PPPL is currently signing that. I know there is one already in place at IPP Garkin. I don't know whether GA is doing that, but this cooperation agreement covers everybody working at that institution. So you can have then access to IMAS and to the IMAS software.
Yeah, thank you.
So I don't have much on the 0D inputs because this is going to take a little longer. What I can tell you is that what you should expect is that by the summer, you will be able to input the geometry of the diagnostics, so get the geometry of the diagnostics from IDS, from the IMAS database. So you don't need to input these in the name list. The way it is done now, the so when you give a geometry of diagnostics to TRASP, TRASP will calculate internally the line integrated signals, and you will get into the NetCDF file your line integrated signals at the position of your observation cores. When we interface with IMAS, so the geometry comes from IDS, but the outputs will be analyzed through the interface for synthetic diagnostics. So this contains a far more accurate algorithm for doing LAN integration that are more appropriate for diverted plasma and shaped plasmas. In fact, I was talking to some users, I was talking to Michael, the TRASP responsible officer for JET, was telling me that he uses the interferometer synthetic diagnostic in TRASP to rescale the input data for density, but it gets a good match only for the line that crosses the magnetic axis. And this is due to the fact that, as mentioned before, all these algorithms in TRASP have been written for a circular plasma. So they're really not good enough for shaped plasma. So the new interface, so that will couple with the synthetic diagnostics interface that IDER is developing, will provide then features that would enable users to do a better comparison and validation of predicted profiles, for example, against diagnostics. The largest part of all this work is probably the implementation and the expansion of the heating and current drive module. So the first step, and you should expect these to be available at the end of March with the next release, all power waveforms will come from IDS. So this is the EC input power and this is steering angle. Then the neutral beam input power, the ion cyclotron input power. For the interface of with the EDM current drive modules, the first step will be to look into the electron cyclotron interface. This is the easiest to replace. We will do the test with the TORBEAM because we have a version of TORBEAM in TRASP, and TORBEAM is also available in IMAS, so we can do a direct benchmarking before we release it. And then the interface will be made general for any IMAS compatible EC code. So once we give you this EC general interface, you will be able to use a gray, for example, or you want to write a new ray tracing code and you do that, you make it IMAS compatible, you can test that in TRASP. You can do that without anybody from the TRASP development team to do anything on our side. So the interface will be such that users will be able to plug and play any IMAS compatible EC code. The same plan is also for the neural beam interface and for the ion cyclotron interface. We will do the testing with the NEMO, which is available on the EDER cluster and the IMAS Git repository as an IMAS compatible component. We will create an IMAS component for NewBeam, and we will generalize the interface for use with any neutral beam code. For example, you want to run fast simulations in the control room with the Rabbit, you will be able to do it. ones, so if Rabbit is an IMAS component, which I heard from Marcus is the plan. Then will come the IC interface. The test will be done with PION and with Toric 6 when I was at ITER in the fall. So Mira Schneider, Roberto Bilato, and I discussed the Toric 6 as an IMAS component. This is available, so we will do the test. And soon users will be able to use a Toric 6 in TRASP. And also the IC interface will be made general. The last step will be interfaces with the full heating and current drive workflow that includes the IC and the IC energy. So this will is done at the end because it requires first all the other tests. So again, you no longer need to define the heating and current drive geometry in the name list because this is taken from IDS. But you will get a code that can use any heating and current drive module that is IMAS compatible. So this really opens TRASP to new opportunities for using additional modules with respect to what is now implemented in TRASP.
Is there any discussion about having ASCOT or another full orbit code in, as part of TRASP?
Okay, it is not part of TRASP.
Well, so, part of the workflow.
So the goal here is to provide TRASP in a way that is compatible with any code that is IMAS compatible. So if these codes are IMAS compatible, your neutral beam interface in TRASP, we will be able to run it. Because what is going to happen is that TRASP is not going to have any knowledge of the specific code that is being used. It will just know that it is getting information from a neutral beam code.
Okay, so. But the important connection is the neutral beam geometry, say. And is that, how is that being done? I mean, new beam has a certain type of, has certain definitions for the neutral beam geometry setup. How is IMAS doing it? I mean, how are they?
So each code comes with an interface with IMAS.
Right.
So, and this interface is basically a subroutine that take from IMAS the information it needs, processes in a way that your code understands it, and then basically run the code. So you don't modify your code. You have your interface that processes the IMAS input and in a way that your code understands.
So
this is why it is flexible.
Okay, so the codes could have two completely different approaches to how the geometry is defined, such as Newbeam does it one way, ASCOT
does another way, Pencil does another way.
Yeah. Okay.
But
yeah.
They are all reading. So the fundamental geometry from IDS, and then they would convert in their own internal language.
And the IMAS geometry is flexible enough that it can take these, how Newbeam defines the geometry and...
This is a Newbeam. So the IDS has fields that you have to fill, and they usually reproduce the hardware and the geometry of the system.
So I'm trying to think this through. TRASP defines all these angles and focal lengths and things like that. I'm not TRASP, Newbeam defines all these.
Yeah.
And ASCOT has all these beamlets, thousand beamlets.
As long as you know what's the size of your, or the footprint of your beam and divergence current voltage species mix, then you can convert from.
I can add it.
Yep.
What Stan said, it's already in name list. So we are not calculating anything of that, Stan. It's what you set it in name list. So it is no matter whatever you read it, you have to be consistent with different code. That's it.
So some code like ASCAP will take this information
and then chop your full bin into beamlets.
Yeah, and then some out. Yeah. And that's internal to ASCAP. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the new beam representation will be internal to new beam.
Right.
Yeah, particularly for S code, there is some differences in some that variables like square root of two, but we are not doing that. We sit in that.
Can I ask a question? You briefly mentioned MHD models. One of the first slides, can you give us a sense of the timeline for SOTUC model or the NICE transport models of Astarians?
All right, so the first test that we are going to do are for MHD codes that are pretty simple. So DECON, for example. And we're going to test these with the NTM module. So as part of the JET collaboration, Josh worked on an IMAS version of FAR3D, so the interface. So these so TRASP can already pass information using IDS to FAR3D. So we will complete that. So you will have DECON and FAR3D. So I guess this will enable you to calculate some of the eigenfunctions you need. And then we can discuss the next step. So that part is not currently funded under the IMAS proposal, but we can discuss tests and do some tests and understand how, so what the path forward is. But we will do some development with basic codes. So the full transport, Fastion transport will require some additional effort that I put here, I think. Yeah. So here, expand IMAS for MHD schemes for self-consistency.
Well, I mean, so IMAS already has some IDSs for that. So in that sense, hopefully, at least part of the work has been already done. On the MHD side, maybe that can be expanded to.
Yes, no, definitely. But to do that, so we need to do first the individual MHD codes. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that the heating and current drive interface works, including the IC MBI synergy. And then we can implement the fast ion transport. So once we have a fully functional interface for the neutral beam and then for the ion cycle. Okay. Yes. So we will start a test. I don't expect that, say, it will be usable before the end of the calendar year. It may be, say, first quarter of 2024. Are there any additional questions?
I have a question about predictive models.
Uh-huh.
So all of the models what are now in trans, they are IMAS IDL compatible and they will be available in future?
So we don't have the funds to convert the turbulence transport model. So converting the turbulence transport models to IMAS is responsibility of the owners and developers of the individual code. MMM is an IMAS component, so we will make these available to users. But for TGLF, for example, or GLF23 or others, it's up to the developers to develop an IMAS compatible version.
What about NCLAS and NEO?
NEO is the same, so it's responsibility of GA. With NCLAS, we might do this because there is an official version of NCLAS on the ITER cluster. And I think there is something already going on there in terms of IMAS. So we are going to do that. So NCLAS will be available as an IMAS component.
Another question online.
Okay. Any additional concern?
We had a lot of questions already.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Thank you. Recording.